get ready for Unpaid Overtime with Rambin.
Go full Costanza on ya.
And Boner.
Pure entertainment, not good entertainment.
Oh.
Right out of the gate, we thought, you know what would be great? Let's go ahead and get a guest. So we went out and found one of the absolute coolest guitar players on the planet. And I would like to welcome John Five. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, how are you?
I am spectacular, man. We are we're good. So you've got the new song out with LA Rats.
Yep.
I've been everywhere. You know, of course, great tune. And I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, dude, these guitars are killer. And I was loving it.
Yeah, I love it too. I think, you know, it's funny about that song because Nikki called me and said, hey, you want to play guitar on this song for this soundtrack? And I said, sure, you know, because we're always doing something together. And so he said, come on over, we'll get some lunch. And we kind of mapped out the song. And then he said, hey, do you think Rob wants to sing on this? And I was like, well, yeah, I think he would. So let's give him a shout, you know, and see what. And he was into it. And, you know, everything came together. We went into the studio. Now, we were all, Nikki went back to Wyoming, but we were all separate. And Nikki was in Wyoming. I was in L.A. Rob was in Connecticut. And Tommy Clefetis was in L.A. too. But all of this came together, mixed, mastered, done in 8 days. And which,
wow.
I know, it was really cool. So, and it came out, I have to say it too, it came out so great. And I think, you know, Zombie just delivered such an incredible performance with all those lyrics. And, you know, he really did a great job on that.
I remember hearing the song because Boner found the song. He played it for me. And I said, oh, that is great. That is great. And then several weeks later, Ice Road shows up on Netflix. I'm watching Ice Road, a completely unpredictable Liam Neeson movie. And as I'm listening to it, I'm going, wait a minute. I've heard that song before. And there you were.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in there for like such a short amount of time. But I was like, oh, my God. But so happy it happened because we got such a magical song out of it. I mean, it really, I'm really, really proud of it. And I'm super thankful for Nikki putting it all together. And it really, it worked well.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, as soon as I heard it, I thought, what a brilliant combination. You got Rob Zombie, you know, I've been everywhere, man. And that's Rob Zombie.
So, you know,
it's like an easy one for him.
So killer. I mean, with all those lyrics, I've ended blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I thought, you know what? It's a, I mean, it's basically a country song.
Yeah.
But then I thought, dude, John Five doing country, you could play, you know, I mean, he loves that stuff. I'm like, this is brilliant. This is such a great combination of artists, you know, put together on that. It's really quite great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're no stranger to soundtracks, though. You've worked on a couple of your friends Rob's movies, correct?
Yes, I have. And even before that, I did a bunch of music for TV and movies and things like that. Like, you know, a lot of Baywatch. I did a lot of Baywatch.
No way.
People don't really know about, but when you see David Hasselhoff running down the beach, you'll hear, and that's me. So
that's John Five?
Yeah. That, and I did a lot of TV, anything I could, you know, because mm-hmm. I just bills and stuff. But I'm happy I did because it's all experience and it's all, you know, a part of something I've always wanted to do. I love doing sessions, but just all those things were all experience, a lot of movies and a lot of things like that. And then working with Rob on his movies, it was great because I was experienced enough. So he would talk the lingo and he would say, I need this, this, and this, and this. And I really understood everything he was talking about because it is so different than just you know, playing a song and plopping it in a movie somewhere, to score something is completely different and pretty complicated.
Is it true you're going to play Eddie Munster?
Oh my God, wouldn't that be great?
I thought, wow, that's awesome. Hell yeah.
I'm going to play Eddie Van Halen Munster. So I wish, but listen, Rob is super smart. He knows that I am no actor. So one thing he'll definitely not ask me to do is act, because I'll be like, you know, that scene when Cindy Brady is like staring at the camera and she's frozen. That's what would happen to me.
You have not shown up in any of Rob's movies so far yet.
I think, no, that's not true. I did show up in one. In Lords of Salem, I had this mask and there was like this surgery going on. I had this like crazy mask on and it was a disaster because all I had to do was stand there with a mask on, right?
Mm-hmm. Rob,
okay, how can he mess this up? He's not going to mess this up. He just has to stand there with a mask. And then like 10 seconds into the scene, I'm like, I got to take this mask off. I can't breathe. And he's like, what? So it was like a big night.
So John 5 is a diva is what you're telling me.
No, John 5 just needs oxygen.
Oh okay.
I don't know. I'm sure you can see behind me and my tellies.
I sure do. And it's a beautiful sight.
And there's, if I were to move over here and turn my chair, which I can't because I'm sitting. Well, there's another one. There's another couple of them over here.
I love how they're placed in that, you know, that it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm still working on that. I mean, it's got lights up there in the top and everything. I still got to finish all that out. But, you know, I love what I've done with that.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. That's a place I'd like to hang out.
Well, you know, when you're here in, you know, in Chattanooga in August, you know, you come by. We'll hang.
I love that Chattanooga too. I really do. I think it's just such a great place, and it's a wonderful place to go eat, go hang out and stuff. It's a great music town. I really love it.
You were here, what, 2 years ago? Maybe three, yeah. Something along those lines.
Yeah, I've been there twice, and it's just, I mean, the people, everybody's so nice, you know, everyone's just super nice. And I really enjoy myself. And I was super excited that I was coming back. And because I always tell my agent, I want to go back there. I want to go back there. So I love it so much. And I can't wait to be there, because I'm usually in there like in the winter, but I'm super excited to be there in the summer because I love the heat. So I'm into it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that space that you're playing at, I'm guessing that having been here in Chattanooga several times, that you've been to that Songbird, you know, Guitar Museum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's incredible. Yeah, I played there, and it's just mind blowing.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible, the guitars and things that they had in there. And now, Greg, I think that those guitars are gone, correct?
That's just it. I'm looking forward to August 25th when John's there, because I have no idea what it looks like now. I know that they have new ownership, and what we can expect on the 25th. And who are you going to be there with, John? Do you recall?
Jared James Nichols.
Oh, yes.
And Black Satellite. And you know what's great about playing there, but it was kind of bad about playing there too, is because I'm playing and all the stuff is very technical. And I'm like playing, I'm like, oh man, look at that thin line. Oh, I got to concentrate on what I'm
Yeah. And you go back into that vault that they had there with the, they had a very cool prototype pine telly in there that... Wow. I'm like, holy shit. I can't believe that you guys actually made a telly out of pine, for one.
That's how they did the very first Telecasters, were out of pine.
Yeah, which is amazing to me. But, and I asked, you know, how does this thing sound? You know, because they wouldn't let me hold it. They're like, get the hell out of here. Do what?
Sounds very piney.
Yeah. I mean, they probably let you play it, right?
Yeah, no, it's incredible. It's just like, it's history. It's like the first car, you know, it's like, it's such history. And that was the very first couple of guitars, and it's just jaw dropping. I was just like, I can't believe this is in my hands.
Yeah, such an amazing place. But again, it's unfortunate, I think, that those guitars are gone. So I don't know that I'll ever get to see them again.
Well, it was the best place that I've ever been to in the world. And I've been to a lot of places, and that was definitely the best. But they are reopening on the 25th, and I'm super excited. I'm honored to be going back there.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That you are you like the premier new Songbirds guy?
Yes, yes. And which is great. You know, I think they're going to reopen, and I'm going to unfortunately, you know, be playing, and people are going to be like, oh no, what's he doing? All our beautiful guitars and all this stuff. But no, it's going to be wonderful. And I am honored to be playing in there. It's just wonderful. I wish I could play there every night.
Well, I wish you played there every night. I'd have something to do every night.
Yeah, me too.
So when I look at your discography, I see Rob Zombie, I see Lita Ford, I see members, various members of Kiss, Motley Crue, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Hailstorm, but then I also see Wilson Phillips, Salt-N-Pepa, Rod Stewart, and John, did you shake your bonbon with Ricky Martin at one time or another?
I did. And, you know, I did it with, we made a record with Desmond Child. Absolutely did crazy. You know, it just sold like crazy. And I'm just like, you know, again, all these people, all the people you read off, you know, like I'm fans of. And I love music. It doesn't just have to be rock music. I'm just such a fan of music in general. So I'm very fortunate to be able to do, you know, play from anything from Motley Crue to Ricky Martin or Rob Zombie. It's just because I love music, you know. And
when you're working with Rob Zombie, say, on his movies, when he did the reboots of Halloween, and I know, what was, did you work on any specific piece of music within that?
What did I do? Did I do anything on that record? I mean, that movie, I think, I'm not sure.
Didn't you work on Laurie Strode's theme?
I think I did. I think I did. I do so much, but I think I did. And yes, I'm pretty sure I did. Yes.
Yeah, you're just being nice to the old guy in Chattanooga. Don't say that.
Try to remember, but yes, I did.
It's just cool to see all of those names. And certainly when you grew up, you were probably influenced by not only the music that you enjoyed, but also the music that, say, your parents grew up with as well.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had older sisters, so, you know, it was always Beatles and Stones and Hendrix and everything that was popular. I remember my sister saying, I'm going to go see Jethro Tull in concert. You know, I'll be home at like 11:30. And I was like, wow, you know, just thinking, and this was, you know, 70s. And I was like, that's so cool. She's going to a concert. She went to, you know, concerts all the time. But yeah, I grew up with all of that music. I can remember vividly standing on our bookshelf, and it was kind of like a raised bookshelf. And I, you know, that was like the stage to me. And I had, of course, a tennis racket, and, you know, I would air guitar to anything that was playing. I would jump off the bookshelf and stuff. And, you know, so, but you know what's funny is when I started going for my career, I never thought, oh, I'm going to be a rock star or a well-known musician or anything like that. I just wanted to be a session player. So I never dreamt of like people knowing my name or anything like that. I always thought, oh, I just want to play in the studio and do records and things like that. And that's all I wanted to do. So I never dreamt of anything like this that has happened, and it's just been unbelievable.
So was it weird maybe going, you know, and standing out in front of, you know, all of a sudden here you are standing in front of 20,000 people, you know, on a massive stage. I mean, I imagine you played far smaller things first, but is that a weird thing to you? You know, just because you came from that whole session area to, hey man, we're going out on the road and you're going to go and hang out on this stage with 20,000 screaming knuckleheads.
Yes, to answer your question, there was a time where I was like, it hit me. It hit me like you feel like, you know, cold weather or something. It just hit me. I was doing this thing called the VH1 Fashion Music Awards, and it was the first annual VH1 Fashion Music Awards. And I was there with Katie Lang, and we opened the show, and I was like, and I started the song, you know, and I was like, and it was filmed and everything. And I remember the curtain opened and I'm a session guy. And I went after this gig. So someone said, Katie Lang needs a guitar player. Went after, got the gig and stuff. And here goes the curtain opens, cameras, and I start it. And I'm not exaggerating. There was Prince, Peter Gabriel, Madonna. And I was playing and I got so emotional. You know, I was like, it was so shocking to me. You know, I just played and did my thing. But I remember getting off the stage and calling my sister, because it was so weird. It was so strange to do that. And it's been wild ever since.
Something you got to get used to a little bit.
Yeah. And it, you know, because I never dreamt about that. I was never like, yeah, you know, it's about time or anything. I never dreamt I would do anything like that. So it was shocking, you know, to see. And I'll never forget, Prince was all in red and he looked so rad. And I was like, oh my God, this is so weird, you know, because it was weird. And it was live on TV. And I remember getting off and going to a payphone, no cell phones, and calling my sister. It was very weird.
Wow. Yeah, I can't imagine my first gig, you know, being in front of Peter Gabriel and Prince and, you know, the biggest stars of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very weird. So I don't take it for granted. I just, whenever I have a chance to play guitar, it's a great day, you know. It doesn't matter if it's in front of 500 people or 50,000, you know. I love it. I love it more than anything.
So, I mean, and I guess since you came up as a session musician, I mean, first and foremost, you have to know all sorts of different genres of music. You have to be well-versed in all of these different things. You know, you're going to play rock. It's different than playing country or, you know, and if you listen to if anybody who knows anything about John 5, and you know that he's quite well versed in all these. It's amazing to me that somebody so good at, you know, one style of music can turn around and be chicken picking a second later. And you're like, holy crap. I mean, that's just amazing to me.
Thank you. I just do it because it occupies my brain, you know. I if I didn't have that, I think I'd, no, I'm not joking, I'd probably be yelling at traffic, you know, or something like that.
Which is what we do on a regular basis. Yeah.
So it occupies my brain. I try to pick really difficult things just to keep my brain, you know, occupied. And it's been wonderful. And I don't do it for any other reason other than the love of music. And it's been great. And with the record, you know, coming out, there's all kinds of music on it. And it's heavy. There's Western swing, there's bluegrass, there's all sorts of stuff on it. So I'm looking forward to it coming out.
And when does that come out?
Halloween.
Yeah. That's what I hear. Yeah. I heard you also have a song on there with Dave Mustaine from Megadeth.
Yes, we definitely do. It's the first single. It's called Que Pasa, and it's, I write these songs and I have these like vocal hooks, and the record company was like, well, we can't use this vocal hook because we'd get sued. And I said, well, I want to see if Mustaine can do it, you know, because he's got that, just that, I have loved Megadeth forever, and he's got that voice, you know, and I have the worst voice probably on the planet. And he heard the song and he agreed to it, and it just makes the song. I mean, it just makes the song, and I'm so honored that he did it, and I can't wait for people to hear it. We just made the video for it a couple days ago, so you'll be seeing that soon.
Is Dave Mustaine playing guitar on it or just singing?
He's just doing a vocal.
Actually, it's Que Pasa.
It's so great. It's so that Mustaine growl, and it's just like nobody can do except for him. It's amazing.
Any other surprises on your album coming out Halloween?
We have Peter Criss playing on a song called Georgia on My Mind, and he's playing drums. Playing,
is it jam. The like Ray yep. Charles?
Yeah.
State song of the Peach State?
That's right.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And really cool. And Peter just killed it. Two takes. And the producer left the mics on. So Peter's talking to the producer. And because it was like these mics that were just over the drums, it was like old school. We mic'd, I should not we, the producer, Barry Pointer, mic the drums like that. So it was like old school jazz. And the mic was on and Peter was talking. And we used some of that little conversation before the song kicks in. It's just magic.
I hear there's also a Queen, some Queen in there.
Yeah, a crazy little thing called Love, and it's done in like a Chet Atkins style.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, really, really cool. So
you mentioned Peter Criss, and although this is an audio podcast, they can't see where you are broadcasting from, John, but in the background I see many lighted, it's like I'm at the John 5 flea market. It's wares that I can purchase behind you.
Yeah, so yeah, there is I have this massive Kiss collection. I mean I play so much guitar that I'm, you know, I have a collective soul, and I was like, oh, you know, I like to collect things. And ever since I was a little kid, I, you know, and it all comes from when we're children, you know, mm-hmm. So I like to collect, you know, baseball cards or sports memorabilia, but mine was Kiss, you know, it was comforting to me. And it's what I loved when I was a kid. And so, yeah, I have, I've been collecting for years, and it's only the makeup era, the coin years, 73 to 83. And I pretty much have, you know.
So how many copies of the Marvel Kiss comic book do you have where it was printed in Kiss's very own blood?
Well, that's a great question, because there's so many pieces. There's so many different items. So I get the cleanest of the one item. I don't do doubles. So my very super clean version of it, I keep that, but I don't have doubles because I'm like, okay, I have that.
Okay.
I need to look for this.
Okay. Well, I actually have a copy of that, and I did something weird in the 70s. I actually read the comic books that I purchased in the 70s, and I wore that son of a bitch out. In fact, the cover...
Look, I think you pissed him off.
Oh, no, he walked away. He
walked away. Like, I'm done with you two idiots.
There it is. There it is. That is exactly right. If you will hold it there for just a moment, I'm going to take a picture of it, and we can post that on our...
So, yeah, this is the comic book from...
There you go. That's exactly the one I have, where the cover is ripped. The back and the front are two different pieces in my collection right now.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to get you a nice version. So it's,
oh no, he's opening it. Oh
he's
my god,
send you his. That's nice.
No, That's great. That's great.
Pretty fun. That's what my hobby is, and it's wonderful because I get to go around the world and look for this merchandise. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful because I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I'm married, you know, and so you can only play so much guitar during the day. So I'll wake up and I'll go look for stuff. And my best find, I'll never forget this. And I was in Lawrence, Kansas, and I was on the phone and I just walked into an antique store and I'm on the phone and I go, oh my God, I have to call you back. And I found this little plastic amp with a microphone, and it just says Kiss on it. And it's worth probably like $7,000. But they took it off the market because it was shocking kids. And and I got it for $20 along with one of those plastic Kiss guitars back there. And that was the best find I've ever found in like a flea market. And I'll look for records all over the, you know, mm-hmm. world, because there's so many different variations of these albums, you know, and different plants that they were made in. And so it's really something fun to do while you're on the road.
Do you have a list of things that you actually look for?
I have now, not only do I have a list, but I have people. I have a vinyl guy who I will call and I'll say, do we have this? I have a merchandise guy where I'll call and I'll say, do we have this? I have a magazine guy and so on and so forth. So they're like, wow.
Oh, man. Now, you also have an Instagram account.
Yes.
And I can remember in the 70s as well, growing up, that everyone thought that that's what KISS meant. But in reality, it means John Five's Instagram account.
That's right. Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have my Instagram, John Five Official, which I just, you know, really play crazy guitar and masks and pajamas and things like that. But then I, about 3.5 years ago, I said, I'm going to start an Instagram account called Knights in State and Service. Anybody that this fan will
yes,
know
exactly.
And I planned this all out. So January 1st, 3.5 years ago, I put up my first piece of merchandise. Now, here's the magic about it, is that I haven't missed one day. Now, I'm not exaggerating. I haven't missed one day in 3.5 years, and I've never repeated a piece of merchandise.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty fun. And it's educational. I'm not doing this to say, wow, look what I have. I'm doing this to say, look what's out there. This is what's out there. Some people might not ever know that there were cards from Argentina from 1978. Or that there were, you know, underwear from Australia from 1980. You know, it's all educational. So it's really, it's a lot of fun.
Wow. Well, it's been really cool having you here, even though you're not actually here. But having you with us, man, I absolutely appreciate it. You taking the time out of your day. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Looking forward to seeing you on August 25th at the all-new Songbirds with Jared James Nichols and Black Satellite. John Five, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure. And I will see you guys very soon.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, now that we finally got rid of that guy. I'm just kidding. That was very cool.
It's only John Five.
That was awesome.
That was
but I wanted to tell you real quick that I went to Publix the other day.
Yes.
And they have hot soup. So like I knew that I think they say Sunday and Monday is lobster bisque day. Now, and let me go back. Man, I love Publix. Publix shopping is, in fact, a pleasure there. But I went specifically to try out the lobster bisque, and I can confidently say Walmart is still the finest
$2.97
lobster bisque you will ever have.
All right. Walmart is still in the running.
Walmart was better. And I love you, Publix. I'm there like every day. I know everybody there. But yeah, man, the Walmart lobster bisque was better.
Superb.
I know this is important to the listeners. This is why you guys moved in. You're like, all right, we'll get on, you know, get John 5 out of the way. I got to hear about the lobster bisque. So there you go. Now you know.
What would they call John 5 in, say, like in the Spanish speaking podcast listeners' countries? What would that be? That would
be in Spanish. Spanish, that'd be what? Juan Cinco?
Oh, yeah, Juan Cinco. And
Juan Cinco.
Yeah. And in France, what would it be? I got it.
What was it?
Jean Cinq. Yes, very good. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. You got any more?
Wait. You know, when I was very, very young, my dad was stationed in Germany, so I know German. It would be Johann Fünf.
Yeah. Well, John 5 is probably, he doesn't even know it right now, but he's very happy that we didn't call him Johann Fünf.
Fünf.
I'm sure he appreciates that.
Yeah. So all right. That's Unpaid. That's Overtime. That's the podcast on Rock 105 and the Odyssey app. Like, follow, do all the things, please. We would like to get paid to do this. Yeah. Punch it.
However that goes.
Let me get my teenage daughter in here. She'll tell me how to do it.
Unpaid Overtime. Rock 105's weekly podcast with Ramben and Boner.